Often I like to try to make things practical. You know, we've been talking about what's important to you. I mean, and how do I know what's important to you? What's the most important thing in life? Often we don't think about the spiritual part of that. We often think of our families. I mean, as people would answer, well, the most important thing in my life is my child or my family. I hear it time and time again in the office that the most important thing in their life is their pet. We at some point have to realize in our life that life is very fleeting. We're not here that long. Eternity lasts a lot longer than what anything or any time that we spend on earth. And yet, we spend so little time on what should be the most important thing for us. If worship doesn't fit into our schedule, we won't come and worship. You know, if our job makes us work too hard, or another event happens, the first thing we always give up is what? It's worship. It's the first thing we always give up is worship. I want to make something practical this morning. This came off of Facebook. This lady was posting this, and she wants it posted all over. Religion is given a false sense of hope. Religion has created a different Jesus that does not exist. I don't know if you were in Sunday school this morning, you missed it, how Jesus is not a very nice person. When you call someone a brood of vipers, when you sit there into their face and call them hypocrites, that's not the Jesus I hear of today from the religious folks. Jesus, at points in his life, was very blunt and not very kind. Why? Because he cares about where you spend eternity, and sometimes truth has to be blunt. I want you to listen to this. It's going to sound great at first, but then we're going to pick it apart based upon Scripture. The pastor says that they sit front and center, the gay boys. Sometimes they hold hands, and some folks have said he should address the issue. But the pastor tells me he doesn't know what to say. I think they need to get a new pastor. And then there's a man who sneaks in the back door fresh off the street after the service starts and leaves before the altar call. The people sitting close complain about how bad he smells of beer and smoke and sweat, but the pastor tells me he doesn't know what to say. And then there's the young mama who wears dirty skin and lets her four children come in and eat all the donuts and drink all the watered-down juice. Some church staff say they eat like little pigs. That they haven't eaten in weeks, while the mama just stands there and lets them. And the elders say something must be done and said, but the pastor tells me he doesn't know what to say. And there's the whore sitting among the faithful, and everybody knows her. She sits with a painted up face, cheap perfume, and a broken heart. And those who sit close, well, they all treat her for what they think she is, and at the last staff meeting, her name came up. Something must be done about her. But the pastor tells me he doesn't know what to say. The pastor's a good man, holy and just. And he wants to do the right and loving thing, and he wants to look like Jesus. So he asked me, if I have any thoughts or anything he could say. And I said, yes, sweet pastor, I do. Start with this and say it louder than any other words. Welcome to church. This is a place of love and hope and safety and forgiveness. We'll be food for the hungry and living water for the thirsty. We're also glad you're here. You're invited. You're loved. Come on in. We've been waiting on you. Welcome here. We are the church. Say that to the called and the called out, to the leaders and the greeters, to the dirty and the clean, we're all the same. We are. May we blow the dust off religion out of our souls and choose affection instead. May our words and actions and reactions be a sanctuary for all affected instead. May our words and actions and reactions be sanctuary for all. Jesus broke many laws. Jesus broke many laws to love. So Jesus may be our voice. Be the only words we should ever speak. I believe this with all my heart. Years ago, we were kinder. Everybody looked out for one another. We need to go back to that. It takes us all. We got to do better at looking out for each other instead of breaking each other down. I'm going to make a bet that out of all my family and friends, less than four will take time to put this on the wall. What do you think? First of all, the pastor has plenty to say. One thing he should say is, you are welcome. I'm glad you're here. But you won't leave the same. You see, religion has so distorted the Word of God that God's love is so great. Any of those people that come, they can't leave the same. If he was preaching the sermons he should have been preaching, if he was teaching the message of Jesus Christ about repentance, then these folks would either leave on their own accord or they would find salvation and true hope. You see, us welcoming folks in doesn't help them at all. If they leave, then you're still headed toward hell. Yeah, the pastor should have had plenty to say. Our world has become so, just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, we're so hypocritical. We're lying to folks. We're not telling them truth. And they're going to die and go to hell. Hell is a real place. And people that are not born again go to hell. And yet, these folks that come in, they're welcome. But one thing that they forgot is that you must worship God in spirit and truth. And if you aren't born spiritually dead, then you can't worship God. Anything other than worshiping God in spirit and truth is in vain. And you still die and go to hell. You see, I can't post that because it's wrong. I can't post this because it's not about this God's love that accepts everything and everyone. But he accepts everyone. But he doesn't leave anyone as he finds them. And this is what the church has forgotten. That our message is still the same. You must repent for the forgiveness of sin. You must be born again to be able to repent. You must become a disciple of Christ and follow his teachings and find out that you come to the end of yourself and that you're hopelessly, helplessly lost, and you weep, have a godly sorrow that leads to repentance. These people that they speak and hear, they've got to have the godly sorrow. They can't just come in and want to be accepted. How many times you go to a hospital expecting not to get well? Would you go back to the hospital? If you went to the hospital or to the doctor to get for an ailment, to a disease, and you don't get well, why would you go to that hospital? See, we're all sick with sin. Jesus is the great physician. And he heals us. He doesn't leave us in the sinful nature that he finds us, but he gives us a new nature to walk above that, to walk in the spirit, so we don't carry out the desires of the flesh. But see, when we change the purpose of Jesus Christ in the church, they're allowing people to sit here day with Sunday in and Sunday out. And they're going to die and go to hell. This is sad, but this is what's out there. This is what religion is. There's no truth in it. Just enough to be a lie. Enough to welcome those people in, but not expecting a change, not expecting a healing. See, God cleanses me from my sin. He frees me from the bondage of sin so that I can be the righteousness of God, so that I might be a light to a world, so that others might be come to Christ and be saved. In saying that, chapter 13 of Hebrews, where we begin in verse 14, he says, "For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. For you and me as a child of God, we need to look at religion for what it is and begin to bring truth of Scripture so that these people can see the truth. You see, a new city's coming. That should be our hope. Our eternal hope, that there's going to be a new city, this place that we call Earth. We talked about a little bit last week that we're just passing through. We're aliens in a strange land. That's why none of this should make sense to us. All the things that you see happening in the world today and the way our government is leading our country contrary to the Word of God. We have a governor that is contrary to the Word of God, but his pastor calls him a righteous man. Doesn't matter what your pastor calls you. It matters what God calls you. See, sometimes we forget that, don't we? Sometimes we want to shine before men so that the men will say good things about us. But what is the Heavenly Father saying about you? Are you the hypocrite that we talked about in Sunday school this morning? Did you prepare for worship? And if you didn't prepare for worship, then you go out and pick on a particular sin? Did you know you're just as guilty? You're the hypocrite? You know, we might be the hypocrite. Did you ever think about that? Because we're not true to who we are. Huh? Boy, we sure like to pick out everybody else's sin, don't we? Well, see, in this new city, there will be no sin. There will be no crying. There will be no pain. There will be no judgment. Judgment has been completed. And those that are not born again are in hell. And those that are born again are with God Almighty through the blood of Jesus Christ. See, are you seeking that city? Is your life wrapped around that city? Is that what gets you out of bed each morning? Is the fact that you're seeking this city? You're not comfortable with this world and the things that are going on in this world? You see, religion makes you comfortable. See, this makes you comfortable. This made this lady feel really good about posting this, that she was accepting all these and if you notice, she picked out all the sins, but she didn't pick out the ones of like maybe not, maybe she's speeding, maybe she's cheating on her income taxes, maybe she cheated on her husband, maybe she is coveting something, maybe she has a hate for somebody and doesn't talk to them. Wow, we left out a lot in this, didn't we? See how hypocritical this is? See, in that new city that we're seeking, we don't have to worry about any of that. See, that's the city I will be comfortable in. I will never be comfortable in this world. He goes on to say, through him, and that's through Jesus Christ, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. So through Christ, that's the only way to God, is through Christ, the blood of Christ. No one comes to the Father, that's not drawn by the Father, but no one comes to the Father but through the door. And Jesus says, I am the door. I am the way. I am the way. I am the only way. I am the truth. No one comes to the Father but by me. And through him, we are to offer up sacrifices of praise to God. This is the fruit of the lips which give thanks to his name. What are you thankful for? Oh, we start thinking about family, and we start thinking about our jobs, and we start thinking about all those good things when things are good, don't we? What about when things are bad? What are you thankful for? See, if the only thing that God gives you is the Holy Spirit to seal you as a child of God, and that's all you get in this life, would you still be thankful? See, we're so quick to pick up that physical, aren't we? We're so quick to thank God for all that good days that we have. But how many times do you thank Him for your salvation? And if that's all you ever got from Him, would that be enough? The fruit of the lips. There's got to be something in the heart that brings out that praise. See, a lot of people know what to say. The Pharisees, Sadducees knew what to say. We graze up our children in church to tell them what to say. But where's the heart? Are we as much a whitewashed tomb as the Pharisees and Sadducees in our religion today? The Baptists, the Methodists, the Catholics, the Protestants, those groups that call themselves followers of Christ, but yet they can't even agree on Scripture? Are we not the hypocrites today? Are we not the Pharisees and the Sadducees of yesterday when we decide and we interpret what Scripture is for people and we tell them this is what they have to believe? You've got to be baptized to be saved. You can lose your salvation. You must sacrifice. Huh? Are we not the Pharisees and the Sadducees of today? All these different denominations. Instead of someone standing up and say, thus saith the Lord, this is the truth of God, and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal it. Shouldn't we be blunt like Jesus Christ when the time comes in our lives? Not to be a pain in someone's side, but God gives us opportunities to be blunt. You can't remain a sinner and be a child of God. You're either a child of God or you're a sinner. You cannot be both. Let's look at Revelations 21. This is why he wrote this, is to give us hope in the disparity of our world and how our world's taken its turn away from Scripture. Read these verses for encouragement, for strength, to allow us and help us to live in the days that we live in. John writes, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth." This is chapter 21, beginning verse 1. He said, "I saw a new heaven. I saw a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and there is no longer any sea." The other earth and the other one, the one that you're living in right now, is going to be burned up with intense heat. It's not going to exist anymore. Okay? You and I, as children of God, have a new heaven and a new earth to look forward to. There's nothing on this heaven or this, and there's nothing in our physical heaven and earth here that we need to hang on to. It's that new heaven and that new earth we should be seeking. And I saw the holy, it's not just any city, but it's a holy city. And we forget what makes things holy, don't we? Is it holy because I say it's holy? It's holy because the presence of God. Don't you remember that your body doesn't belong to you? That you're the temple of God and you're to be holy as He is holy. So how can these people remain and feel comfortable hearing the word of God and not become holy? I saw a holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God to made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. Wow, what a union. The church. The church is the only one that will be in the holy city. And how do you get into the church? Do you join it? How do you get into the church? You got to be born into the church. You don't get to join church. Oh, you can join a physical church, but that's not the church of the Lord. That's not the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ are only those that have been born again. They're the only ones that's going to be in the new city. Your family and friends that have not been born again will not be in the holy city. Fido's not going to be in the holy city. Only those that are born again, that are the bride of Christ, will be in the city. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them." There will be no moon, there will be no stars. The illumination of God's presence will be the light for us in this new city. And see, so many people have got the scripture wrong, because you look at this next verse, they think that when someone dies to go to heaven, all the pain is gone and all this is gone. He didn't say, no, it's in the new city. And how do I know this? Because those in hell can look up into heaven and see those who are in heaven. There's some indication that the same can go the other way. They can't pass from here to there, and neither can they go from there to here. Do you remember the story of Lazarus and the rich man? And he's in such torment. The rich man's in such torment. He begs Lazarus to take just some water and put on his tongue. And then it's so bad, he knows that's not going to happen. He begs, please send somebody that's raised from the dead to tell his brothers about this place. So there's some indication that when they said that Lazarus could not go from here to there, from heaven to hell, neither could they go from hell to heaven, there's maybe some indication that those that are in the presence of God, there's still maybe some pain and suffering. Because it's not until the new city. See, we take things, everything out of context, don't we? Because we make it what we want it to say. We want heaven to be with no tears and fears and all that stuff, right? Because we're in the presence of God. No, it says in Scripture, in Revelation very plainly, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Why are there tears in heaven? Do you ever think about that? See, when we make it something that's not true, it makes us feel good about ourselves. We don't look at the responsibility we have to be truth among the lives of those that we love and our coworkers and people we come in contact with. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I'm making all things new." And he said, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." Then he said to me, "It's done." When this happens, it's done. I'm the Alpha. I'm the Omega. I've started this thing. I'm going to end this thing. And I'm everything in between. I'm the Alpha Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of water See, what are you thirsting for? Are you just thirsting to be accepted by a group of religious people? Or are you thirsting for the righteousness of God? Because the promise is those that thirst for the righteousness of God will find it. God will allow himself to be found. Who thirst from the spring of water of life without cost. Wow, this didn't, wow. Wow. Why do we charge for God's word? Why are all these pastors, these religious pastors, then charging for their messages? Why do you go out and buy material that some man's talking about? Why do you do that? When you've got the Holy Scriptures in front of you and they're not good enough? Why do you waste your money on something man wrote? How many books do you have at home? Go ahead. Go home today and count how many books and study guides that you have written by man. And how often do you pull those out versus Holy Scripture? Wow. He says it's without cost. If I have a message from God, it didn't cost anybody anything. Matter, it should be something I want to give them. My heart's desire should be so broken knowing what's going to happen to them. But I don't think we care. I don't know that we really care in our world. Or we would be blunt. We'd throw this kind of garbage away. You can't keep sitting on the front row holding hands and walk with Christ. You can't still be that prostitute and walk with Christ. You can't be that dirty old man in the back and walk with Christ. You can't be that mother that doesn't discipline her children. Because it says those that we discipline, we love. We discipline because we love them. So you see, this pastor had plenty to say, didn't he? But see, when you say truth, they don't come back. But yet they've heard truth. And you never know where that goes. Jesus says, when I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. That the word will not come back void. You see, there's not many churches that are preaching truth this morning, and that's why it's all void. But when you preach and teach truth, it will not come back void. That's the promise of Scripture. But you have to be honest with folks. This doesn't cost anything, but it costs everything. He who overcomes will inherit these things. Why in the world would he say that? Why in the world would he put that in there? Don't I just have to throw my life and throw all my cares at Jesus' feet and man, everything's taken care of? Huh? He says those that overcome. That means you've got something to overcome. That means you've got a battle in front of you. That you've got some hard times coming. Denying yourself is impossible. Oh, you'll do it for a while. But a dog always returns back to his own vomit. And a sow always returns back to wallow in the pen. You can't say, oh, I know at one time he became that. Oh, I know he saved. But he didn't overcome. It says only those that overcome through the help of the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit, not carrying out desires of the flesh, those are the only ones that inherit this new city. Not those that we think because, oh, sometime they got baptized, they said a prayer, they spent a little time in church. Those people won't be there. Those people are not going to be there. You can't change the Word of God so they're there. Because when you get there, if you get there, they're not going to be there. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he'll be my son. But for the cowardly, the unbelieving. Now, we have to make sure we understand what it says, unbelieving. It means you're not believing what I'm telling you this morning, okay? That's what we're talking about. Not believing what I'm telling you this morning, okay? Okay, so there's a lot of preachers out there telling people a lot of stuff, and their people are believing it. It's believing the truth of God. It's believing what he wrote. Again, like Brittany said, it's not often what we want, is it? Matter of fact, most often it's contrary to what we want in our nature. But see, that's a growth process. That's a maturation process. And now we begin to accept the things of God regardless of the consequences, the physical consequences that come with accepting God and his ways and his truth. But for the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, immoral persons. See, we have to redefine immoral persons nowadays, don't we? How do I know if you're immoral or not? Because I'm going to look in Scripture to see. First, I'm looking to see if I'm immoral. Because I'm looking to Scripture to see what I'm doing. Have I denied my flesh? Or have I given in to my fleshly desires? You see, we don't allow the LGBT to determine what's moral and not. It's God's word that determines the morality of mankind. And guess what? We've all sinned and fall short of God's glory. Moral persons, sorcerers, you know what? All the movies and things that you go watch, there's some spiritualness to it. There's sorcerers, there's all kind of garbage going on in there. People actually go to spiritualists to have their palms read. And tell you what, I can do better than that. I can prophesy for you. You're going to die and go to hell if you don't become born again. Wow, I'm a great prophet, ain't I? No, I'm just telling you what God's word says. You're going to die and go to hell if you're not born again. I'll be blunt this morning. Jesus was blunt. You better make sure you've been born again. It's not how you feel. It's if you're told you're born again or not. His spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. And if that doesn't happen, you're going to die and go to hell. That's how blunt Jesus was. Murderers, immoral persons, sorcerers, idolaters. All liars go to hell. All liars go to hell. That means this lady here lied because she only told a very small part of the truth. Only half truth is still a lie. Their part, listen to me, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So all these people that they welcomed into the church, if they don't become born again and repent of their sins, they're going to die and go to hell. Their second death. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, "Come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." God's word's pretty plain when you read what God wrote instead of what man wrote. There's not a denomination that's correct. All the denominations, because we base it on what man wrote, man's interpretation of Scripture is a lie. There is only one truth, and it's written in the Scripture. And you better get the New American Standard. In our Sunday school lesson today, they use the word convert instead of proselyte. Those are two different things. A proselyte is just someone who studies under somebody. A convert is someone who goes converted from the child of the devil and they become the child of God. But that's because the literature was using a different translation. One of the pupils this morning in Sunday school pointed that out. Wow, talking about making a pastor proud. Huh? When they start catching the lies of men because they're using scripture